We turn to Scripture again as we look at Acts chapter 8. And this is the account of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? Or his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared again and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Today is a special day in the life of this church because we celebrate baptism, freely chosen. And we want to give thanks to God. This is a young woman who has offered herself to God in this way. And the act of baptism will bring back many memories for most of us who've been through the waters. Some it will have been quite recent. For others, it will have been many years ago. But a celebration, a time of giving our lives over to Christ, not just for a moment, but for a lifetime. In the passage in Mark 10, 13 to 16, we have the account of children being brought to Jesus. Though the disciples tried to stop them, Jesus would have none of it. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus places his hands on them and blesses them. And we do this in a service of dedication, giving thanks for the child's safe delivery, for the blessing on the parents and on the wider family. We ask God to bless each. And at this service, there is no water used, there is no sprinkling. We allow the child to grow in faith and make that final decision. And that decision can be at any point and at any time in someone's life. In Mark 1, 9 to 13, we have the baptism of Jesus by the River Jordan, baptized by John, his cousin. His mother, Elizabeth, was the sister of Mary. And God had sent John to prepare the way. He was preaching a message of baptism and repentance. Jesus had no need to be baptized, for Jesus was without sin. But what Jesus needed to do was identify himself with the people. So Jesus humbled himself, and he took our sins upon himself. According to Matthew 3, 13 to 15, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. It was God's will that Jesus came to earth in the form of a man. to take the sins of all upon him, to suffer the punishment in our place. Hence, Jesus needed to be baptized. And today we're called again to repent of our sins, to answer the call of John and Jesus, and to consider baptism, the washing away of an old life, and to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into a new. We have this account in Acts 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian. I wonder if we identify more with Philip or more with the Ethiopian. How many of us read scriptures but find it difficult to understand? We read it over and over again, particularly when we read the Old Testament and we try to follow. But what we need the wisdom of the Philips of the world, who can share this good news, who can explain and share what God has to say to us. Today we have the same problem when we grapple with Old Testament scripture. And yet we have so many resources to help us. Some don't always work. But you know, if we look at the amount of books that have been written, the amount of electronic material that's around, plenty to share, plenty to say. At the time of the meeting between Philip and the eunuch, the New Testament had not been written. So it was significant that the passage from Isaiah was being read. When the eunuch asked Philip who the prophet was, Philip was able to answer Jesus Christ. And Philip tells him about the good news. And when the eunuch saw the water, he wanted to be baptized. He asked for baptism. And Philip didn't delay. He didn't change the pattern. He did not say, come to a lot of classes and we'll share it. He did not need proof of his faith. That faith being general and genuine. As Philip finished teaching, the eunuch believed Philip, and Philip baptized him. How do we come to the decision to take that step of faith that leads to baptism? Nowhere does it say that we have to wait a long time and attend weeks of teaching before we can be baptized. Nowhere does it say that we have to prove our faith is real, genuine, before being baptized. For only God knows whether a person's faith is real. God knows whether we play at being Christians. Only God can judge. God alone will be the judge. So I challenge you this morning on a serious matter, the act of baptism, to give your life as a living testament of your faith. We are called to repent, to be baptized, and to take the good news to others. I have no hesitation that in believing that God has placed his hand on our young sister and brought her to this decision. I pray in the quietness now that the power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon the water, that the power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon us as a gathered congregation. For we come to prepare for that act of baptism.